It's not what you know.
It's who you know,
isn't it? That's what the saying goes. It's not what you know, it's who you know.
And who do you know?
How well do you know them? How would you go up here answering those questions in the perfect partner test? How well do you know the people sitting right next to you now? How well do you know the people that you live with? How well do you know the people that you sit next to during the week? At work or at school or on the bus? Probably not well enough to answer all those questions correctly. Just checking, I'm taking a guess here. You probably don't know anyone that well. Because here's a profound truth. Profound relationship truth I'm going to give to you. Ready for it? You are you. And all the other people around, see, they are not you. Not only are they not you, but they are different from you. Everyone is different from you. That's good. That's the way God's made us. We're all different. But unfortunately, sometimes we don't act that way. Sometimes we forget that people around us are different, that they think differently and they feel differently. They see the world differently and they react differently in situations. They have different perspectives on things. And sometimes we forget that. And what we do is we don't just kind of like appreciate, hang on, I don't know what that person's like. Better remember my ignorance. No, we fill in the blanks, don't we? We go, I can't remember what that person's told me about their favorite color, about the things they like to eat, so I'm going to assume that they're like me, usually is what we do. We fill in the blanks with ourselves if there's someone we like. We project ourselves onto them and their way of thinking. They'll react like me. They'll have the same opinions as me. They'll feel like I do in this situation. We expect people to be like us. Except when it comes to people that we don't like or we think we don't like. And then we don't project ourselves onto them. We project our prejudices onto them and our stereotypes, our caricatures of people that are different. We use that actually, it creates more distance between us. But the problem is, and what I was told once in a youth group talk, I can't remember at all what the youth group talk was about, but I can remember this one line. The problem is what happens when you assume that you make an ass out of you and me. That's what assuming is. It leads to mess. It leads to trouble. It leads to misunderstandings. It leads to awkwardness. It leads to tension. It leads to conflict. Just because we assume. Now, the reality is we don't know people. We don't know what people are like. Yet it'd be good too, wouldn't it? It'd be good. We know that intimacy, that deepness of relationships is good. That's why I hope you felt it when we read Psalm 139. A psalm that talks about, well, the perfect partners in one sense, the perfect relationship where two people know each other really well. Did you feel how good it was? How much joy and freedom was expressed in that psalm. Turn back to it now, if you're still in Proverbs. Back to Psalm 139. This is a song where David is expressing this wonder and joy and the preciousness of being in this relationship with God. Where he knows God. And God knows him. See, David knows God, and he just appreciates what God is like. Verse 17, David says, "How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand." What God thinks about him, David cares about, and he's excited by. He's just delighting in it. But really, most of the psalm is focused on the other direction, isn't it? How well God knows David. That in every aspect, David feels God knows what he's like. And there's a few angles to this. First of all, God knows him because God's omniscient. Like we just sung in that song before, omniscient. He knows everything for the fact that he's God. So verse 1, "You've searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, and you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." David just blows his mind thinking about how well God knows him, inside out. Even words he hasn't said yet, God knows. God knows him. And it's not just something that kind of God's doing from the outside and kind of David's sitting there feeling uncomfortable about it. Because David actually is inviting God to know him better. At the very end of the psalm, he has this prayer, "Search me, God," verse 23. "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." He says, "I want you to know me, God. I want you to see every part of me. I want there to be that openness in the relationship." You know what? We see this intimacy and we feel like David's excitement and joy in it. It's sometimes easy for us to kind of go, I wish my relationship with God felt that exciting, felt that strong. But sometimes we forget when we read this. David was the guy who took such delight in God's word. That he was someone who pursued God's word. He valued what God was revealing to him. He talks about it in other psalms like Psalm 19, where he says, "More precious than gold are your words. They're sweeter than honey, like honey from the honeycomb." David values what God says. He pursues hearing from God. And David's also the guy who wrote about 50 psalms pouring out his heart to God, expressing what he's thinking and feeling and going through in life and sharing that experience with God. He's a guy who prays. And when we see this intimacy in the relationship, it comes as the result of those things, that the relationship has been worked on. It's being built as David both hears from God and listens to him, and David shares with God. Give and take. Sometimes we want this, and I feel like I can't sit down and read my Bible and do my prayers. I just don't feel it. I'm not in the mood. I feel like I'd be faking it, just going through the motions. Relationships don't get intimate unless we work at these key aspects of communicating. Well, this is kind of the long intro. Perfect partners. None of us are there. None of us are even close with each other in the way that David and God can be close. But how can we improve? How do we get better? Well, I'm going to break it down simply in the most simple, helpful way I know how, mathematical formulas. Here it is. To sum it up, when we talk about relationships, relating is kind of made up of two aspects. Two aspects that are where relating happens. And it starts with revealing. Relating is made up of revealing. You need to share yourself in relationship. We don't know each other automatically. The only way you can know me and how I'm different from you is if I share what I'm like. If I let you in to what's going on the inside of my head, I'll tell you about it. And the second part that goes along with that, receiving, revealing and receiving. When someone reveals stuff about themselves, it doesn't just go out there into the ether, floats around in the air. It needs to be received by someone in the relationship. And as that person understands it, listens to it, appreciates it, that's how relationships happen. The message is conveyed. It's communication. Now, this is kind of like, may seem very basic, kind of like relationship 101, but it's important to get it out there. Because the next step, the next formula, shows what happens when we do this. When you reveal stuff about yourself, you're taking a risk. You're putting stuff out there that you don't know how people are going to respond to. People could laugh at it. People could dismiss it. People could ridicule it. People could get angry. You don't know. It's risky when you share yourself. And it involves being vulnerable. And so what has to happen in a relationship where someone is being vulnerable is it needs to be met as someone receives it in a way that shows that what the person has shared is valuable. When we listen, when we receive what someone shares about themselves, we value that. And what happens is, when you have someone being vulnerable, and when they're being valued by another person, it leads to intimacy. It leads to feeling close in relationships. There's two parts, revealing and receiving. And it has to go in both directions too. Two people have to have a bit of give and take. Both have to reveal some and receive some. Relationships can't just be one-sided. And this is the kind of the groundwork. So what we're going to do the rest of the time is think about some practical tips. How can we do this better? How can we grow our relationships deeper? Build intimacy with one another? From wherever our relationships are at. Like, we're all in different places with different people. That's okay. But in order to grow relationships, to take them forward, we have to keep making steps, don't we? Taking steps to get to know people better, let them get to know us better. And so we're going to think about some practical steps, practical tips, how we can do this better. And naturally, we usually swing one way or the other, and we're better at one or the other. Who reckons they're better at revealing stuff about themselves? Who's the talker that likes to share about themselves? A few people? Yeah? Who's better at receiving, kind of listening, kind of prefers not to share stuff? That's definitely me. Yep. Normally we're one or the other. That's okay. It's just sometimes it's helpful to be aware of it so we can work on bits when we're weaker to help grow our relationships. Okay. So we're going to do it. First of all, we're going to do receiving. Because it's helpful to start thinking about the other person first, what they're sharing, and that other person-centeredness, that love that we thought about last week. How do we receive well? Well, James 1 tells us, 1:19, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become, quick to listen. Now, James has to tell us this, because naturally, lots of us are slow to listen. We're quick to speak. We're quick to jump in, downloading something, expressing our opinion or our thought, getting angry, responding to something someone said before we've really heard what they're saying, before we've really received it, taken it on board. It starts with the attitude. You've got to work harder. It's not automatic. It's not always easy. Maybe you're feeling that right now, how difficult it can be to listen. We need to have the attitude that says, I want to hear what you're saying to each other. I want to value you by valuing what you're willing to share. Because we know when someone doesn't listen to us, you know how much it hurts, doesn't it? If they don't listen to what we're saying, we feel like they're rejecting us. So, when someone's talking to you, when someone's sharing what they've got to say, what they're revealing about themselves, fight the urge to talk, to put yourself in there, to finish their sentence because you think you know what they're going to say. Let them share. You might need to clarify, have questions to kind of help them draw it out. One of my favorite proverbs is this one. Yeah, the purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but the one who has insight draws them out. As in talking about it, the purposes of our heart are sometimes like buried deep down. But what someone who's wise can do is that they can help get those things out. Sometimes we don't even understand ourselves what our thoughts or motives and things are. But when we talk them out with someone, when someone helps us by asking the right questions, it can help us say things clearly and bring clarity. Yeah, think about how you can do that. Asking the helpful questions. Questions that help people go deeper. Ordinarily in conversation, we start off with the small talk, don't we? We start off with the kind of fact questions. What did you do this week? It's facts. That's okay. There's a place for that. But if we just leave it there, we're missing the opportunity to take the next step and go deeper. We can ask questions beyond just what happened. We can ask, what do you think questions that get people to share their opinion. It's a bit more personal than just kind of stuff that happened. And even beyond that, you can go a step and ask people how things make them feel. That's quite personal for lots of people to share about their emotions. But that's the kind of the stepping it down. Facts, opinions, emotions. We don't necessarily need to have more conversations. We talk to people a lot, but we want to make the most of them when we do. So many times we have conversations throughout the week with people around us, and yet we just let them go at surface level, trivial stuff, when there's opportunities to get to know them better, to help them know us. Two times I think where I miss the most opportunities for good conversations are when I'm eating dinner with people. So just like we did earlier tonight, food is a great lubricant for conversations as we eat together. Great opportunity. Make the most of the dinner table or the breakfast table. And also, when you're driving in the car with people, you know, that's a great time to talk. Sometimes it's helpful, you don't have to make eye contact. You've got to keep your eyes on the road. But it's a good time when you're kind of stuck there. It's a great opportunity for conversations. Now, you can look up websites online that have like 365 conversation starters. And most of them are pretty kind of like weird questions that you will never need to know the answer to kind of things. If you were writing a movie, what would it be about? Those kind of questions. But sometimes they're helpful as starters. They're not meant to be the end in itself, but they're a start. So that could be helful. But I think there's two really, really good questions that I think are simple, but they're good questions at getting people to just go a little bit more, opening up the opportunity for more to be said. Two questions that I like, and that you can ask someone every day, and they can give different answers to. And they are, one, what are you thankful for? That's a great question to ask. Helps them to reflect what's been going on. Depends on the situation, they can answer it in a small way that's not very, doesn't require them to be very vulnerable. I'm thankful for sanitation systems, so we have toilets that work. Or it can be really profound. I'm thankful for the way this person helped me out when I was in this difficult situation. And the second question is, what are you looking forward to? The same thing, you can answer it in small ways, or you can answer it in big ways. What are you looking forward to? They're great questions to ask. So you help people share themselves. Now, one thing to keep in mind, as we listen to people, as people reveal stuff to us, it's super important that we be safe people for them. That we be secure with stuff they share. That we don't pass it on, gossip. That we don't respond in a kind of like by ridiculing them. Or by judgmentalism. We want to show that we value them by listening to them. By following up with things they share with us. If there's something that's said and you kind of just forget about it, and I'm going to hospital tomorrow to have an operation, and they've shared that with you, and then you never ask them about it again. It's kind of like you forgot about it or didn't really care. But when you come back later and say, hey, how was your operation? It goes a long way in conveying that you value them and what they share. And you remember and you bother to follow up. You want to be a secure person that values what people are sharing. Now, receiving what people share doesn't always mean approving. It's not the same thing. Just because you listen to someone and hear them out doesn't mean that you have to agree with them. And you're a different person, so you probably won't lots of times. And sometimes you'll even need to respond with rebuke. Like we saw in Proverbs 27, that was covered some of those verses there, weren't they? Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. When we know people and when they let us get to know them, it's an opportunity to care for them not just by building up stuff in our head, but by pointing them onwards to Jesus. We need to keep having that perspective. We're going to think a little bit more about that next week. So look out for that. But the important thing is that a rebuke can only come from someone who has that basis of that relationship where they feel valued. If someone doesn't feel like you value them, then if you try and offer a rebuke, they'll just ignore it. So there's some things to think through in regard to receiving, in regard to listening, getting to know someone else. What about when it comes to revealing? How can we think about doing that well? Well, another proverb, 24:26. An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. In a relationship, when you share the truth, it's like what's physically expressed in a kiss. A truth conveyed builds relationship, expresses care. When we're revealing, that's what we need to keep in mind. We need to be honest. We need to reveal the truth about us. Not a fake, putting up walls, pretending to be someone we're not, like maybe exaggerating to make ourselves look better. We want people to know the real. Super important. We have to be willing to share ourselves. Let people in. Be open. We fight against the temptation to be distant, to be mysterious. Hide away. We need to fight the fear of being vulnerable. Willing to let people see us. Now, this will happen differently in different relationships. This makes clear. There's such a thing as overshare. That's a real problem that many of us have experienced, overshare. There's nothing quite so awkward at that moment when someone shared something. Whoa, that was beyond the depth of this relationship. You need to share in a way that's appropriate for where you are. It's not like someone just met. Hey, here's this problem with sin that I've been struggling with my whole life. Can you take this on board? Yeah, don't go it all at once. bit by bit. You want to take the next step in intimacy, just a bit deeper. And also there's a proper context that you're in where there can be overshare as well. Like, the middle of church probably isn't the place to share some deeply personal stuff. It's sometimes better to do that in small groups with a few people. Facebook isn't usually the place to share deepest, darkest secrets. We'd be aware of the context. Especially a warning if you are dating. Don't overshare. Kind of maybe goes counterintuitive. You want to help someone get to know you and you're kind of in the momentum of that relationship. It can be easy to go too far in sharing. But just like there's wisdom in protecting and having boundaries with our physical intimacy during that stage, it's wise to think about our emotional intimacy as well. Don't share too much. Don't awaken love till it so desires, as Song of Songs warns us. Also, don't do the one-sided relationship where you just do all the downloading, where you just do all the sharing. You need to show concern for the other person as well. It needs to go both ways. Oh, there'll be kind of like, there'll be swings and there'll be bits where you're doing more of the sharing or when you're doing more of the listening this week. Something's happening and that's the way it goes. But overall, you both need to be growing, knowing each other better. What happens if that doesn't work properly? You get weird, distorted relationships. Yeah, it's messy. Here's my final tip about revealing, about sharing yourself. One of the ways that's really helpful to do this, it's really important, especially for us as brothers and sisters, is the way that we share through praying together. As we pray together, we share prayer points about ourselves. We share our thinking and feeling, and we're sharing and participating not just kind of in a verbal speaking, but we're sharing in a spiritual way. That's really significant and important for our deepening relationships. Again, if you're dating, be very careful with this. Praying together. When I was growing up, the minister had a line that he used to say a lot. It was, prayer is very sexy. Prayer is very sexy. When you're sharing and you're being open and vulnerable, that if you're in that moment and you're alone, it's very easy for that emotional, spiritual intimacy to overflow into inappropriate physical intimacy. Be wary about it. If you're praying with someone, if you're dating and you're praying, do it in public. It's a good thing to do, but you just want to do it wisely. Don't do it for too long. On the other side, husbands and wives, do pray together. Build your intimacy. Make the most of it. Relating, now for two parts. Revealing and receiving. When we share ourselves and when we're vulnerable, and it's valued by someone, that leads to intimacy, feeling close to. It's not what you know, is it? It's who you know. Relationships are so much more valuable than just facts. Knowing a person, appreciating who they are, what they are like, as someone who's different from you, so much more valuable than just knowing a whole list of facts on a page. But you know what? You know what's even more valuable than who you know? It's who knows you. Like David, God knows every inch of our lives. He sees the best bits and he sees the worst bits, the darkest bits, the thoughts that you don't even want to think, remembering about yourself. He sees it all. But you know what? Even in this position of vulnerability before him, he still values us. He sent his son to reveal himself to us perfectly so that we might know him better. He sent his son to die in order that our sins may be forgiven, that we may be vulnerable and known and not afraid. Not what you know. And on that final day, it's not going to matter so much even who you know. The most important relationship is who knows you. Is it Jesus? Or will he be the one? Will he be saying to you, "Away from me, you evildoer. I never knew you." Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for the privilege of relationships with you and with each other. Please help us to work hard at them, to deepen them, to build intimacy in those relationships. Father, please help us to be spurred on and to desire greater intimacy with you and to value your word and to hear what you are revealing about yourself, understand you better. To express ourselves, our experiences, our thoughts and our feelings and opinions to you. Help us to work hard at them, and we pray that you'd grow in us that sense of closeness to you, a privileged relationship that we have. And Father, we also pray that that would be something that we desire in our relationships with each other, that we work on taking the next step, taking those relationships forward, whoever we are, knowing and letting know us. Help us to think wisely about it, but help us to think practically and positively about the next steps. Help us to fight the temptation to either hide ourselves or to just dominate with ourselves. Please help us to be good at receiving and at revealing. And that through our relationships with each other, that we may bring more and more glory to Jesus as we point others to him. Father, we pray this in his name. Amen.